of infested flies 3 months after the application in June, and lowest rate and the highest rate was significantly different from the untreated control, but again the most reduction was seen with the highest labor rate. And the same 33 pounds rate reduced the density of eggs per fly, significantly different from control here in June, whereas the other two rates were not, and there were no effects on the density of nymphs per fly. The timing study, this was done on the same block that I mentioned for the rate study in 2007, and in this case only one rate was used here, 33 pounds per acre rate, that was applied to the bedside only at three times, 20th of November 2006, 12th of January 2007, and 22th of February 2007. And these times were before the spring flush, which is a major flush that gets exposed to the psyllid populations and infestations. There was untreated control. Four trees were randomly selected at each of the four locations, two per bed, per plot. Psyllid populations monitored between December 2006 and June 2007 only on the bed sites. And sampling procedures were same as for the rate study. Looking at the effects on the adults, all the three application times, TMAC application at all the three application times significantly reduced adult numbers starting from 4th of April. The populations were very low before that time and there were no significant differences. But we see here that in all cases, the most reduction was seen with the application that was made in January, 14th of January. Percentage of infested flush was also reduced with the TMAC application at all the three dates before the spring flush. However, again, the most effects were seen with the application that was made in January. The November application was not very consistent as there were no effects here, and then it lasted only through 9th of May. February application, on the other hand, provided good control but still less protection compared to the January application. Another experiment we did in the same setting for the time study, and in which we caged the 48-hour-old adults and looked at their survival on those flushes, treated and untreated flushes, and then looked at the survival of their nymphal cohorts through adulthood. And nymphal cohorts were monitored for survival to adulthood. Parents were removed with the emergence of F1 adults, and emerging adults were counted and removed on each observation. This experiment was done 4 months after November application, 2.5 months after January, and 1 month after February application. There was significant mortality from application in November and January on the adults, about 40 to 45% mortality, and these adults were caged for about 25 days. And the mortality in the four-week treatment was not significantly different from the untreated control. The effects were more pronounced compared to when we were looking at the feral populations. These are the populations that were caged on the flushes, and we see that there was about 55 to 76% mortality in the young instars and about 20 to 28% mortality in the mature instars. In case of abundance of the lady beetles, there are four species: Curinus coralis, Olavi nigrum, Cyclonida sanguina, and Harmonia exiridus. These are very effective predators, and as we see that they were equally abundant in the treated areas where different rates were used in 2006 and in 2007, where they were highest rate was used before spring flush at different times. So from these experiments, we conclude that all rates significantly reduced the adult psyllid populations 3 months after application in 2006. However, the highest rate of 33 pounds per acre was most effective and also reduced infestation of flush with psyllid eggs and nymphs. So the high rate is recommended. There was no significant improvement in psyllid control when TMAC was applied to both sides of the bed and swale, both sides of the trees, bed and swale sides, compared to the bedside only. So bedside applications are recommended. We saw a significant suppression in 2007 by applying at different times before spring flush, but where differences occurred, they favored the January application. So TMAC application 2 to 3 months before spring flush is recommended. There were no effects on predatory lady beetles, so it seems that it's compatible with some of the generalist predators. However, limited efficacy was observed in this year due to unseasonable dry weather. So it's likely that normal rains would have improved the effectiveness of the product in these experiments. And I thank these collaborators and my assistant, and thank you very much for that.
Vlad mentioned the psyllid first was detected in Florida in 1998, and basically it's a pest of young shoots, young flush. Overposition occurs in the young flush. You can see the eggs here, and all development occurs there. Adults can feed on mature leaves and survive on mature leaves, but if they don't have young flush, then they can't mature their eggs. overwintering is primarily adults because there's basically no flush in the wintertime. Now, you might say, you're from Florida, you don't have winter, right? Everybody goes down there to get away from winter. Well, citrus trees might disagree with you. There's very little growth of new foliage in the wintertime. Also, the winter is a dry time of the year, so although we have irrigation, that also has its effect. And I think growers are discouraging flush to the extent that they can and still harvest a decent crop. So basically, we have a flush-free period pretty much from October through the spring flush in February. And this is critical for the control that we're talking about, which is during the dormant period, and that's what I'm referring to as a dormant period. Javad mentioned to you about greening disease, and of course this is a great concern to our growers. It's fairly prevalent now, excuse me, in the southwest part of the state. These are photographs taken basically from our center, so you can see that it's right there at our door. It's a phloem-limited bacteria, which is kind of unusual, and the psyllid probably plays a pretty major role in not just moving it around, but in reproducing this bacteria. So psyllid control is critical to managing this disease, and hopefully we're going to be able to manage the disease. As far as what our objectives are in trying to manage the disease, basically we're trying to extend the productive life of citrus. We don't know how long that's going to be in the face of this disease. We hope we can at least get 15 years out of these trees by reducing the risk or the rate of infection with greening. In order to do that, we expect to be using insecticides to reduce the survival and movement of the psyllids, but at the same time we want to conserve natural enemies that can help us out with the psyllid and of course with other pests. We have a whole gamut of pests that are controlled by biological control, and it's critical that we conserve that. These are the principal lady beetles that are responsible for a good part of the predation as far as we've been able to tell. Here you can see them. For instance, this one here, Olivia nigrum, was fairly scarce in Florida citrus until the Asian citrus psyllid came and provided a extra food source for it, because it's basically a psyllid specialist. So we're seeing a proliferation of these beetles and in good numbers. If you look at the impact of these beetles that have on psyllid populations, you can see. Actually, this is work that was done by isolating cohorts and counting eggs and following them through their development in caged and uncaged branches. And you can see, especially in the summertime, that in an uncaged branch, you can have as much as 100% mortality. So you have very high levels of mortality. But yet, when you protect those branches with a cloth cage, fine mesh cage, and keep these lady beetles out primarily, and other predators, of course, as well, you get very high survival. So they are important to the system. So we got this idea that if we could attack them, the psyllids during the winter, not only would we be dealing with a declining psyllid population, and not only would we be dealing with only one stage of the psyllid, but because there was very little flush there to attract lady beetles and other natural enemies that feed on flush-feeding insects, maybe we'd be having a low impact on the natural enemies as well. So basically, we recommended this before we even knew it would work, and then we went ahead and tested it, and fortunately it did. Sometimes you have to do that, in the real world. It's not the first time that's happened. In this particular test, I'm going to talk about there were two 15-acre plots, and the rest of this particular block was untreated. We applied Lohr's band at 6 pints by ground on January 15th. Keep that date in mind, January 15th. We monitored the psyllid populations in the same ways that Dr. Qureshi was talking about, and this is Dr. Qureshi's assistant, Monica Triana, doing the famous tap count, tap sample, tapping the branches and counting the psyllids that fall down on an 8 by 11 sheet of paper. It's on a clipboard, of course. And we also monitor the flush for infestation rates and number of nymphs back in the laboratory. Now our target, remember, is adults, and this is pretty amazing. I mean, I'd hope for good results, but I don't think I hope to get results this good. We're talking about here 5 months of out from the application that was made.